Welcome to week four of the Smoke and Soul Project, where Dave and his family are on the road to Dubbo, Tamworth and Coffs Harbour. After settling into a rhythm over the first 3 weeks, this week threw up a few challenges. Thanks to everyone who has helped get the project off the ground and to everyone who's kept supporting Dave and Cara since they hit the road. A big shout out to our partners, Phantom Screens, Charcoal Kings, Lane's Barbecue, Just Tinted and Ampol Australia with their Ampol Cash fuel card. After the break, Dave takes us to Dubbo and the family's partnership with Hope Street Baptist Care.
As soon as we arrived and settled in, I got in touch with Christine Holland, who looks after Hope Street. So I went in, saw her, got a bit of a feel of the space that I'd be serving, and just, you know, an idea of how big the area was that they had set up there. She was awesome, and you know, she's been really helped throughout, you know, this whole thing. I suppose the first thing I really felt was it's sort of like an old bungalow style home, but it's basically an old house, I think, that's been converted into this crisis centre. And walked in and instantly I felt like a really homely sort of vibe. You know, they've got a number of volunteers there and they've sort of set it up like a real house that you can sort of come in and relax and have something to eat. They don't usually have service on Saturdays, and our barbecue was scheduled for a Saturday, but they'd sort of made an exception for us and wanted to make this really special for their clients. And they'd been sort of handing out posters and flyers and advertising the fact that we would be there. And you know, their service usually runs from, I think, Monday to Thursday, maybe Monday to Friday, but yeah, it's definitely not on not on a Saturday or a Sunday. So they were really sort of pumping this up as a special event. Yeah, so I sort of asked Christine, you know, how many numbers they usually have through, and she sort of explained, you know, it's around sort of 50 to 60. So I then had a solid idea then of, firstly, the space I'd be working with, and then secondly, had an idea of, you know, the numbers I was feeding. And you know, at every stop that we've had so far, those are the sort of key pieces of info I need. I need to see the space and see how big it is and see how I'm going to fit everything in, and then also the numbers. This was quite a small space that she had allocated, but that was all right. I could fit it all in there. I could fit my barbecues in there. She had explained that there was, you know, 50 to 60 heads that they regularly feed. You know, the next day I could head out and source some food. Yeah, so being a 4 p.m. service, slightly earlier, it was really hard to serve up low and slow. So I decided to do something that would take a bit less time. So I did rump steaks with some chili beans and some corn on the cob, which has been really popular throughout the trip. So that morning, I went, you know, hopped in my car and set off to source all my food. And as I was going along, I could hear, there was just a funny sound from the engine. I'm not a cars person, I don't understand cars or engines at all, but I knew something wasn't right. Something sounded off, but you know, it was handling okay. And so I was going from A to B, I was doing my food shop and sourcing, and I came back and unpacked, and yeah, I thought something fell off. And I asked my father-in-law, who's they've been following us along, and I asked him to just, you know, have a listen, because, and so yeah, we opened up, you know, the hood and, you know, had a listen, and something sounded off for him as well. And we just weren't quite sure what it was. And at this point in time, it was 4 p.m. on a Friday, and I said to Cara, no one's going to be free to, you know, look at this at 4 in the afternoon, you know, on a Friday. We asked the hotel if they knew anyone, and they recommended a man called Ash. So we phoned Ash, and he was happy to look at it, you know, late on a Friday. You know, he was happy to look at it. And he, you know, had a listen and said, yes, something's not right. Can you get the car into him on Saturday? And I said, well, the problem with that is I'm doing barbecue at Hope Street, and so I need to get my barbecues there. And anyway, long story short, we figured out that if I could just get the car to Hope Street, unpack my barbecues and set myself up, my father-in-law would come down and pick up my car, take it in to Ash. And at the time, we thought it was a relatively easy fix. We thought we would have the car back later in the afternoon. But yeah, I'll get into more of that later on. But Friday, though, sourced all my food, came back into the hotel, had this this issue with the car, figured out sort of how we're going to take it in to be looked at, and then we sort of moved on from there. Had a nervous sleep, I suppose, Friday night. Wasn't nervous about service. I was actually just sort of nervous about what the potential issues are with the car. Woke up early Saturday. Service didn't start till about 4 p.m. My aim was to get to Hope Street at 7 a.m. And yeah, so showed up there and, was unpacking and heading up. And yeah, it's been for the first time I've arrived at a space and there's been people sleeping in the area. I haven't had that up until now, which is, it's hard to see, but and I'm trying to do my best to set my barbecues up and not wake them. But yeah, to arrive at a site and see firsthand, I think there was about three people there sleeping rough, and it was freezing as well. That's hard, hard to see. So I was able to get everything set up and get the fires on and get all the food on. And as I said, I got there about 7, and I think these people that were sleeping there, they woke about 8:30, and were friendly, and I said to them, oh look, I'm here to feed you, I suppose, and I said I'll come back at 4 and I'll have some food. And yeah, so I think that was sort of, as I said, that was a confronting thing to see first up on service morning. I had set everything up, food was on, everything was ticking along okay. My father-in-law arrived, he picked up my car and, headed on into Ash. And I was, as I said, I was hoping that it would be an easy fix and we would hear something later in the afternoon. And unfortunately, about halfway through my cooking, about 11 a.m, Cara rang me and she said that she had heard from Ash, and she said, yeah, it's serious, the car will be out of action for a while. And it's been the first real hurdle, I suppose, that we've had. Up until this point, everything's been flowing. The 3-day turnaround in between events has been working. I was in a flow, felt like everything was just rolling along nicely. And so yeah, this was the first real hurdle that we had, and it was a hard one, because I just knew that, not being able to get from A to B, the ramifications of that, just being unable to be in towns when I said I would be there. And then there's not only that, we've booked caravan parks and hotels and things in every town after this. And so I think my initial thought was just, the head was spinning. I just wasn't sure how we were going to fix it, handle it. I had to also remain focused on service, because I had food on. So I was, looking at fires and I'm watching food, and I had a service in about 4 hours. So I'm focusing on service ahead that evening, but at the same time having to just get on the phone and basically scramble and just figure out how we're going to get to where we need to be and get ourselves on schedule. So Ash had basically said, I'm not going to go into what he had to fix, but it was basically a timing belt issues, which anyone that understands cars knows that that's a pretty important thing to have to fix. He said, look, he understood our mission, he understood the journey that we were on, and I'm really fortunate that he was happy to push our car ahead and fix it ASAP. And so he said, look, the earliest I can get the car on the road would be Wednesday, which was going to be really difficult because we were supposed to be doing a barbecue in Tamworth on Tuesday and we had to be leaving there to go to Coffs Harbour. So it essentially put us an entire stop behind. So yeah, I mean, where do I even start with how my, you know, how my thoughts and feelings were at that moment? You know, my head was just really scrambled and I'm trying to focus on service, trying to focus on the food that I have to serve, and then also figure out how we're going to catch up and basically fix this and get ourselves on track. But yeah, I suppose after a few hours and several phone calls and that, we sort of made a decision if it's possible to just to skip the Tamworth barbecue and then we can reschedule that and postpone that for on the way home. That just seemed to be the easiest fix. You know, I didn't want to cut the Tamworth barbecue out because those people up there, and we'll speak more about that when I'm in Tamworth on the way home, they've been so supportive and on board, and they've been pumping it up and they were really looking forward to having us. So, you know, to make that phone call to them and say that I can't be there when I said I was going to be there, and you know, I really pride myself on being a person that when I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'll be there. And so to have to make that phone call and say, look, I'm not going to be there, it's just really hard. They were really really understanding and said that these things happen. They were happy to postpone it. So we've got the barbecue in Tamworth now on the 31st, which, yeah, look, you know, again, I'm just really happy that they were flexible with that and, you know, happy for us to shift it. Because, yeah, they'd been advertising, handing out flyers and everything. So it seemed like it took us, you know, a few hours and, as I said, lots of phone calls and everything, but was able to fix this issue. And so we were going to be under the pump in terms of getting to Coffs Harbour. From Dubbo to Coffs Harbour is about close to 8 hours. You know, again, that's just too long for our two girls in the car. So we had to stop, make an overnight stop in Tamworth anyway. And we figured out if we can get to Coffs by Thursday, my barbecue was scheduled for Friday. It's going to be it's going to be a hurry, but we will get there when we have to. And yeah, so I could now kind of rest and just slow myself down. I could calm down a bit and go, okay, we've seemed to have solved this issue. I can now focus on service. You know, I think from the time that Cara phoned me and said that the car was out of action, as I said, that was about 11 a.m. I think by about 2 p.m., we'd figured it out.
Yeah.
And we'd figured it out. Then I could at least just then refocus on the service ahead and get this food out. So yeah, got to 4 p.m. The people that were sleeping rough when I arrived, they came back and were, you know, happy to see me. And yeah, we served these loaded barbecue boxes with rump steak and chili beans and corn on the cob. And the guys at Hope Street had made up a Caesar salad to kind of sort of accompany all of it. So we were able to give these people a barbecue box just completely like loaded of food. Clientele I can't pinpoint, it wasn't one particular kind of person. There was such a large range of ages, of males, females. Also, you know, had a couple of families, you know, and I think I've spoken about this in the past, like whenever we see families come in, that's always really hard because for, you know, for us as a family, you know, to see there's one particular family that had a couple of girls that were very similar to Charlotte and Sophia's age. So that's for us on a personal level, that's sort of, I mean, it's hard to see anyone struggling, but to see families that are struggling is hard. So really fortunate that we could send them away with a heap of food. The other thing also is, and something I don't really think about often, is like families, especially kids, like not kids don't particularly, and they're not really into low and slow barbecue food. Like their palate, you know, because it's a very full-on flavor, like their palate just isn't old enough to really be into that sort of stuff. And our girls are are sort of similar to Rosa. I think Charlotte's really only sort of getting into it now. So when they arrive and I've got low and slow rump, you know, it doesn't really interest them. So we were sort of able to give them some rolls and some salad and beans and a couple of extra corn just to sort of fill them up, just to give them something that they can actually eat. Because that's the most important thing. I want to serve food that people are happy to eat, you know, not just because it's the only thing there. You know, for the older people, the feedback I've had, you know, they're really into the low and slow because it's something that they don't often have. But yeah, like, kids just are not really into that, and that's totally all right. So whatever other food I can serve them, you know, I'm always happy to hand them extra of everything else.
Dave, how many meals did you end up serving?
They had estimated that they usually get around sort of 50 through, and yeah, it was pretty well accurate. We served out, so I had catered for 50, and we served out of everything. We served 50 portions, always happy to serve out, you know, always happy for there to not, you know, to have everything eaten.
After the break, we're going to hear from Christine from Hope Street Baptist Care. Christine, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need in Dubbo?
Baptist Care is a little community centre in Dubbo. We're Hope Street. Primarily, we provide a drop-in inclusion space. So that's open 4 days a week where community members can come in, have some brekkie, have some lunch, have a chat, and just have a place to rest if they choose as well. We also have our caseworkers on top of that. So our caseworkers are general casework, so they can provide support, referrals, whatever community members might need. And we're really lucky that currently, you know, we're not bound by any particular sort of, like, we're not specialist in any area, so we can really help with anyone depending on what they're presenting with. So probably our caseworkers do primarily a lot of work around housing support, but we do branch into absolutely everything that you could think of. We also offer no interest loans. We have a chaplain as well that can provide support for those that need it. Our practical support, so we can assist people with food hampers or small household items and clothing bits and pieces. So we have a really good partnership with another organisation in town with their op shop, so we can always make referrals straight across there. You know, I guess our main focus is having a really low barrier space for people to come when they need it. We really focus on building trust and safety and connection. So really anybody that wants to come through our doors is welcome.
Dave and Cara did a barbecue cook-up on Saturday. What did that mean to your community?
Well, first of all, you said it was on a Saturday, so that was huge for Dubbo. So Dubbo currently doesn't have any free meals available on a Saturday, so that was really exciting. And just having that kind of meal, like a slow-cooked rump that he did, like, our community members don't get access to that kind of cooking very often. The meals that we provide are often through donations from our food rescue partnership with Woolworths. What we get is what we make. Very often do we get big rump steaks that we can slow cook, so that was really lovely. And it was really nice actually being on a Saturday and of an afternoon, which is not our normal operating hours. We actually saw some faces we don't normally see, so it was really great to be able to connect with some new people and let them know that we're here if they need. So that was really great. Dave and his family was an absolute delight. It's amazing what they're doing.
We know that he had his car troubles and he stayed a couple of extra days. Can you tell me about Tuesday's service?
Tuesday, Dave had some baked beans left over from Saturday. And Tuesdays, we normally do bacon and egg rolls. That's our Tuesdays are just bacon and egg rolls from 9 till 1. Oh, sorry, 10 till 1. Don't turn up here at 9, we're not ready. So we're like, oh, what we can do? Well, maybe we can, you know, since Dave and Cara and their lovely daughter Charlotte wanted to come in, we're like, well, why don't we actually do an actual plate of hot breakfast? So, you know, we use the baked beans and bacon and eggs. So we actually had people had to, you know, sit down, not just a grab and go bacon and egg roll. So yeah, it was really great. You know, the girls were in the kitchen helping out there, and yeah, to see Dave come and have a chat to some community members. One, it was something different that we don't normally do for them, but I think it was really great to see him have a chat to people and to hear some of their stories. Because that's what it's really all about. You know, we see the stats and the data about how big the issue is with homelessness and the increasing pressures on the household budgets, where people are relying on services like ours like never before. Sometimes we forget that there are people behind those figures, that there is a story, and like, they're just absolutely lovely people. I love going out there and having a chat, and so being able to give Dave that opportunity as well was really great.
What you're seeing in 2026 compared to, say, 2 years ago, has anything changed?
Our services grown exponentially over the last couple of years, with number of meals that we're serving, the number of clients that we're having, the casework hours, that's all gone up. But what we're really seeing is an increase in numbers of people who are sleeping rough. So that's not, you know, we've always had a significant number of people who are homeless, you know, but they may be in temporary accommodation or maybe be there couch surfing, those bits and pieces. But the number of people that are literally sleeping rough at the moment, carrying their worlds in their backpacks, that's gone up. The number of women sleeping rough, that number has risen way too high. Dubbo being where it is, we are a centre for a lot of our villages and towns out further west. So we've had a massive increase of people coming in from those regions because they can't access the temporary accommodation out there. They come in here, unfortunately, our temporary accommodation is full up as well. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of those people coming to town for assistance. They can't get the assistance and they end up just sleeping rough.
How can people help you?
We do have volunteer opportunities at Baptist Care, so we are looking for volunteers to help us out, deliver our drop-in service, whether that be preparing meals, preparing food hampers, doing a bit of cleaning, and basically just freeing up the caseworkers and client support worker to do some more of that one-on-one interaction so we can actually help more people through the day more intensively if they need that. We do accept donations, so you can find a donation link on the Baptist Care website, and you can donate to a Baptist Care Hope Street, whether it's out here in Dubbo, but we also have Hope Street locations in the metro areas as well. So I would encourage anyone who wants to know a little bit more about Hope Street to maybe get in touch with their local Hope Street as well.
Christine, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Now, Dave, getting back to the car and your time in Dubbo, obviously we know that you've been held back a couple of days. You've shifted Tamworth to later in the trip. What ended up happening on Tuesday in Dubbo?
So on the Tuesday that we were there, we decided to just go in as a regular volunteer. It was really handy because Charlotte wasn't a part. She didn't come in for the service in Dubbo on the Saturday evening. She wasn't there. But this was an excellent opportunity for her to get hands-on and help out. And we helped Lee, who's sort of the unofficial head chef there. Lee serves them food, you know, every morning, and she was excellent. She was more than happy to have us in, and we just headed in and served, you know, their usual bacon and eggs. And yeah, it was just a fantastic opportunity for us to see how they operate day in, day out. You know, it's been fun when we show up and we do our barbecue, but to be able to sort of be hands-on and just see the operations and how they operate and see what actually happens through a regular service was an insight that we wouldn't have usually had. Cara and I and myself were helping with the food. So Lee was sort of, was out the front of house liaising with everyone. We were actually sort of back of house looking after all the food. It was a much slower service, and we were sort of sending food out and then being able to... We were actually doing table service, really, you know, which was excellent. So we were, you know, people were asking us, firstly, who we are, and then, we would sort of fill them in, and we were able to share sort of our story, and people were able to share theirs. And I need to mention though, Lee, front of house, as I said, she's usually the head chef, but she had the opportunity to be front of house on that service. Lee was just fantastic. She knows everyone by their first name, has such a personal relationship with them. And it's sort of something that we sort of, not that the other charities don't have relationships, you know, with their clients, but just to be there on that through a regular service day and see Lee interact with everyone. As I said, she knows everyone's name, all of them know her. It adds towards that home environment that Hope Street have created. You know, it's not just a centre that you can go and eat, it's a home. I think that's the big thing, that's the big takeaway, is they have really gone out of their way, and their staff and the volunteers have gone out of their way to really create an environment for their clients that it feels like they're going and they're sitting at their home. And it's just, as I said, Lee's relationship with everyone there is just unreal, and I cannot speak, you know, highly enough on that.
When did you get the car back?
It was a nervous wait. We were hoping to be able to pick up the car after service on Tuesday. Service finished at about 12:31 in the afternoon, and we thought maybe it would be good so we could just finish at service and go and pick up the car and head back. And we hadn't heard anything, and we got back to our hotel and still hadn't heard anything, and it was getting late. I'll be honest with you, I was beginning to get really nervous, because I thought if we don't have this car today, that's going to then push everything back, you know, further. Fortunately, by about 4 p.m., got the phone call from Ash, said everything was fixed, everything was on. He had been in it, he had taken it out to the airport and back, which he said the airport's about 10 k's out of town, and the highway to the airport, you get your speed up to over 100. Mm-hmm. So he said, I hopped in the car, I've been out to the airport and back, I've given it a flog, and everything's fine, everything right. Works, and so just so happy and relieved, and so happy to pick the car up late on Tuesday afternoon and come back, and we could sort of start getting our things organized.
So you headed off on Wednesday morning. Where did you stay Wednesday night?
So Wednesday night, given that Coffs Harbour is nearly 8 hours away, we needed to do an overnight stop. So we did pop to Tamworth. Literally got there at about 3-4 in the afternoon and settled in overnight. It was State of Origin that evening, so Tamworth was humping. Everyone was up and about over the State of Origin.
Free.
So just had a really relaxed night there, and then we had about 4 hours the next day to Coffs Harbour.
So Dave, you arrived in Coffs Harbour. You arrive on the Thursday, and service is on Friday.
Yeah, this one was hard. If you may remember, there was an earlier stop. Our second stop in Mount Gambier, I had 48 hours to arrive and source all my food and get everything on. This Mount Gambier was easy compared. This was a lot harder. Thank God we arrived on a Thursday late night to shopping, because if it wouldn't have been a Thursday, it would have been really hard, because the shops were fortunately open until 9 in the evening. Arrived at about 4 p.m. on Thursday afternoon, got settled in, unpacked, and then I was off straight away. So, and then not only that, had to get my food and then get it on, because it was a 9:30 a.m. service, and they were expecting low and slow. So I thought if I can pull off this, I can pull off anything. Because went to the Mooney Markets just outside, just past the big banana, just outside Coffs Harbour. Are open late. Sourced all my food. Got everything back. Got a big pot on. Sliced everything up. Threw it all in. And by the time I managed to get food on by just after 6 p.m., 6:30 in the evening, and I knew that it would be a late one. And then I had to get that shredded, get that off, and get it all packed, because I had to leave the next morning by about 6:30 a.m. to get to Pete's place, which is who we partnered with. So Pete's place, Vinny's, they open for service. Food service begins at 9:30. And so I wanted to get there at about 7 to get the fires on and get everything heated up. So, so I decided to, similar to Albury, I did pulled beef tacos, but this, because it was being an early service, I wanted to do a pulled beef, sort of like a breakfast-styled taco, with sort of beef, bacon, onion, cheese, some hash browns, and I had a pot of beans on it also. That seems to be a regular thing. Again, given that I was doing they wanted low and slow, and I was doing a pulled beef, that was going to take a considerable amount of time the night before. Fortunately, I've got it down pat now. I can bang it out in about 6 hours. Managed to get my pot on and have it on high and just try and get these pieces to shred. So I got some nice big pieces of chuck roast and sliced them up and threw them in and just seasoned it up, and was just hoping it would shred early. And got to about 10:30, 11 p.m. and it started to fall apart. And so I was like, yep, okay, I'm almost there. So, managed to get to bed around 12 o'clock at night, and had my alarm set for 6 a.m., so 6 hours sleep, and was up and at it. Had the car packed and managed to get to Pete's place by 7, and I had food on by 7:30. And, it was all heated up and ready for service. And, when I think back on how that came about, I think wow, that's unreal that I was able to pull it off.
Amazing. Unbelievably amazing. I mean, what you've been through this week is just incredible. Dave, how many people did you feed in coughs?
I think they average around 60 to 80, and we served around 65 people. Actually probably gave out around a bit over that in terms of portions. So many people came back for extra helpings, and for lunch as well. Service was 9:30 to 12:30, and we again served out, so no leftovers. Everyone was really really happy, loved it. Feedback we had was excellent. So I reckon definitely 65, probably 60 people, around 75 servings, I reckon,
And tell me about the place there in regards to the services that they have in that community for people that are sleeping rough and also those people in need.
Yeah, so what they've kind of set up there is almost a hub. It's a, for lack of a better term, it's a, like a homeless hub. So Pete's place is one aspect of it, and they predominantly deal with the food service, and they hand out hampers, I think, as well, and they do other things that they hand out, I think toiletry items, and but there's also other services in that same area. There's about probably three or four other services there that, to my understanding, they help people sort of find temporary housing. There's volunteer services there. There's a whole heap of things that if you're struggling with anything, you can head in and they'll sort of help you, which is it's really excellent how they've set that up in one centralized hub. What is hard to see though, but at the back of Pete's place, there's a lot of tents out the back there, a lot of people sleeping rough, and they obviously stay near where Pete's place is, because it's not far for them to go and get something to eat, but then it's also not far from all the other services that that hub has. So you can understand why people sleeping rough, you know, sleep around there. You know, it's a good setup, but it's just, I suppose, unfortunate that there is such a high need for all of these services.
Dave, big week, finished at Coffs Harbour. We're going to hear from Anna from Vinnie's Pete's Place after this break. Anna, welcome to the Smoke and Soul podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Anna, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need in Coffs Harbour?
Yeah, absolutely. So Pete's Place here in Coffs Harbour is a engagement hub for people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. We provide access to food, laundry facilities, shower facilities. We've got case management on site. We've got support workers on site, so we can really provide that wraparound support and link people in with services in the community as well.
Dave and his family were there on Friday morning. Can you tell me about how that went?
Yeah, so Dave and his beautiful, beautiful family did come and visit us on Friday. It was a really lovely, lovely morning having them here. They came and provided, you know, their barbecue service for the people that we see. At the moment, we are seeing anywhere between 90 to 120 people a day here in Coffs Harbour. So it was just a really good opportunity for the people who come to our service to, you know, really experience that kindness from Dave and his family. They showed nothing but respect and, you know, that genuine compassion for the people that we see. They provided an amazing meal, which I've heard nothing but positive feedback about. But I guess beyond the amazing food that they cooked, they really provided that sense of hope, and they were able to provide some dignity and a sense of belonging for the guys that come in as well.
Wonderful. Do you provide food each day?
Yeah, so we have got a breakfast bar set up here. So we've got, you know, access to toast, cereal, that kind of thing. We do have volunteers that come in and will occasionally cook for the people that we see as well. But it is, I guess, that more on that basic side of, you know, toast, cereal and that kind of thing. So having Dave and his family come and do up the barbecue that they did was really comforting and really lovely to see for the people that come into our service.
You mentioned just a moment ago that it's a wraparound service for people that are homeless or are on the brink of being homeless. In regards to a lot of the other centres that Dave and Cara have been to, they have spoken in some areas that they've referred people to services. Am I correct in understanding that all of those services are in that one area?
So I guess here at Pete's, we've got, as I said, we've got case management. So we really focus on crisis case management. So we see people when they come in that day, what they need, and we'll case manage them to a point. However, we do focus on referring people out to specialist homelessness services. So in the local Coffs Harbour area, there are a few specialist homelessness services. Our goal is to refer them out so they're case managed for a longer period of time by the specialist homelessness services, because we're not a specialist homelessness service yet.
Can you talk to me about the changes that you've seen over the last 2 years at your centre?
My understanding over the last 2 years is that I haven't been here for the whole 2 years, but the numbers are just increasing. So the number of people presenting are just going up and up. They're just on the rise. As I said before, we're at the moment seeing anywhere between 90 to 120 people a day, which is quite alarming. And yeah, those numbers just don't seem to be dwindling. What we are noticing is that homelessness just isn't discriminating at the moment. The people that come into our service, it is really a diverse range of people. We are seeing a lot of older people, but in saying that, we're seeing, you know, just an increase of all ranges of people.
If people wanted to assist Vinnie's Pete's Place in Coffs Harbour, how could they do that?
Yeah, so we do rely on the kindness of our community and the donations that we receive. We rely quite heavily on that. So we're always looking for food items. So we give out pantry items to people. We give out clothing, we give out blankets. You know, we're kind of a one-stop shop for people who are experiencing homelessness. So we're giving out tents, we're giving out sleeping bags, we're giving out pantry items, we're giving out food, blankets, And all of the items we do give out to people that come in and access our service are donated by the community.
And if people did want to help, how can they get in contact with you?
I can be contacted via email, so it's anna.millett@vinnies.org.au, or the hub can be contacted on 0438 931 201.
Anna, thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Dave, on top of a big week, you've also had some media coverage, which was great, and NBN came out to Coffs Harbour. How did that go?
Yeah, it was excellent. You know, it was excellent having them out there. Any support that we can have to help raise awareness of these services and the issues of homelessness and people sleeping rough, for them to be out there helping us shine a light on these issues is wonderful.
And also, you caught up with Troy Sincock from ABC 891 in Adelaide.
Yeah, he was excellent, you know, really friendly. Just to have that support from Adelaide means everything. And the fact that he was happy to feature our story and give us that coverage to, again, help us raise awareness of, you know, these issues of homelessness, but not just homelessness. You know, we spoke about the issues of cost of living and just how it's become harder for everyone. This is such a larger issue than you and I, and it's only becoming worse. You know, the numbers are going up, and so for him to feature us on his show was just was really wonderful. And you know, that support from Adelaide, you know, means everything.
Have a good rest. Safe travels up to Ballina. Look forward to catching up next week and hearing how New South Wales and a bit of Queensland went.
Thanks a lot, mate.
What a week for Dave and the family. It started with a setback and was followed with some unexpected opportunities. Thanks to Christine from Hope Street Baptist Care and Anna from Vinnie's, Pete's Place, for sharing the work their teams do in Dubbo and Coffs Harbour. The Smoke and Salt project is 4 weeks in and 9 towns visited. Next week, we'll hear more from Dave and Cara as they head north for week 5 of the Smoke and Salt project. I'm Wallace Long. Thanks for listening.